We are back with Toy Story 3. This is the third Toy Story, obviously by the name, you could probably guess that. But we are going to be watching Toy Story 3 today, and I am very excited. This is the third commentary track. This is our third Toy Story. We have one more after this one, and then we'll be done with the Toy Story pod. And so I'm very excited to dive into this movie. I think I mentioned it earlier on one of the pods, or commentary tracks, that this movie is probably now one of the movies that I have watched the most. This was one that my daughter has taken a liking to, and she absolutely loves Toy Story 3. And so I'm very excited to kind of watch this with a critical eye. And I say, why don't we go ahead and do that? We have an hour and 45 minutes to talk through this movie, so let's not waste any time. I am on 00000 on the Disney Plus screen. I am going to press play in 3, 2, 1. So not a lot different here. This is kind of the Disney thing. But as I was saying, I have watched at least the beginning of this movie no short of 100 times, I think, since Emery has been born. Probably more. I'm just trying to be somewhat realistic, but it very, very well could have been more, or could be more. There's the old lamp stomp. So, it's always iconic. I think I'll say that this is my favorite Toy Story opening. It's grand, it's adventurous, it's a whole lot of fun. So, I love it. And you don't really know what to expect with this movie, really. But to jump right into the dramatization of a play scene that we saw in Toy Story 1 and 2. It's kind of a combination of 1 and 2 a little bit. Got the whole one-eyed Bart, one-eyed Betty thing. It's so, so good. Full of action. Bullseye can keep up with an airplane, as we noticed last time, and now it's keeping up with a runaway train. This is genuinely evil, to blow up a plane, or to blow up a train track full that is housing the orphans. That's pretty evil for evil Dr. Port, or evil, or one-eyed Bart. Evil Dr. Porkchop comes later. I think the pink Corvette is a nice little touch there for the aliens as well. I love this song. The adventurous feels like it very well could have came out of Woody's Roundup. My daughter, every time that this scene comes on, I think she just likes this beginning scene a lot, but every time it comes there, she's like actually invested, and she's like, oh no, the train is crashing, and she gets really sad, and we're always like, oh no, what's gonna happen? Oh no. And then she's like, Buzz, save them! Buzz, save them! And it really is a kind of a fun little scene that, like, Woody tried all that he could do, but thankfully they had Buzz there to save them as well. Such a fun scene. The one-eyed's counting their money. Never count your money before it hatches. No, I don't think that's it. Brought the attack dog with a force field, of course. It's a good idea by Andy there. I wonder if this is like a play, like a scenario that Andy just plays with all the time. And so that's constantly the battle that these toys are having is between Woody, Jesse, Buzz, the Potato Heads, Rex, Slinky, Ham. Like, this is the battle that they are constantly in every time that Andy goes to play something. Mr. Evil Dr. Porkchop. Death by Monkeys. This is actually terrifying, like, if you really think about what's happening. Like, a big bomb that brings upon millions and millions of little monkeys that can work together to tear you down. They literally just took down a T-Rex. Oh no, what's going to happen to our pals? One-Eyed Bart's about to give them the old what's for. And then that immediate transition into it actually being Andy just playing. The nostalgia of this movie that came out over 10 years after the sequel, even from 95 to 2010, that was 15 years for from the first one to this one. And so, like, all the kids who grew up loving this movie were, like, old at this point. I love that he literally has a Slinky line and a Slinky's butt line. I love watching Andy play. It's so nostalgic, and just, like, seeing how good he is to his toys. Like, he puts them up and he watches whatever he's watching with them. He plays them with them outside in the yard. Like, he loves his toys and all of them, and I just think that's so good. Also, this song definitely hits different in this movie because of the old recordings versus him actually playing the, like, You've Got a Friend in Me. The whole point of that song is very much like, you've always got a friend in me, but, like, what if we don't play with you anymore? Do I still have a friend in you? I find it hard to believe that Buzz and Jesse would not have solidified something a little bit earlier for their relationship in the 15 years or so, or whatever, the 10 years or whatever since Toy Story 2. Looking back now, you can see that crazy old looking cell phone. Like, imagine having a cell phone that looked like that now. Like, did they really think that this plan was going to work? That Andy was going to come in, find his phone, see his old toys, and actually play with them? Also, like, that would be really weird for Rex to be that attached to his phone. I'm pretty sure that the voice actor for Andy in this movie is the same one from the old one. He had literally grown up with the same kind of as Andy, and so he was a lot older in this movie and was able to sound like a kid that was about to go to college. He's got a cool room, though. Like, you can see the things that were there early. You can see the things that kind of maybe got old a little bit, or young, I'll say, as he grew older, but he kept his signs and his things like that, his toy box, obviously. It's the first time in the movie that you're kind of hit with the reality that, like, oh, some stuff has happened since Toy Story 2. Because at the end of Toy Story 2, they're all singing and dancing and being excited about being in the room and all that kind of stuff. And, like, yeah, there's a lot that has happened. So Andy's going to college. One, I wonder where Andy lives. Two, I wonder where Andy's going to college. That would be kind of a fun thing to know. I think that the way that these soldiers go about their business add to the paranoia and the freaking out to the rest of the toys as they start mentioning trash bags and things like that. I'm surprised the toy soldiers have lasted that long. Maybe they were like just stuck under a cabinet or a bed or something, and had they actually known that they were there? Because you don't think he intentionally kept three toy soldiers. Like, I'm sure that was an oversight of some way. So maybe Andy can play the guitar. There's a guitar and an amp back there. You see the Buzz poster in the back? That's kind of cool. It's covered up though. That's something that is interesting. Before four, I always wondered what happened to Bo Peep. Now I wish I could take it back. I'm a four hater, y'all. Y'all see that and hear that if you didn't already know. The race car track. Trying to. The Christmas ornament guys. I wonder what's going on with them because the potato heads don't seem to like them that much. Go out on a high note. I actually genuinely think that Mrs. Potato Head not having her eye is one of the smallest, but like it's really, really good as far as kind of like a minor plot point, but it's a whole lot of fun. So there's all the posters. You see the car up there in the left hand side. That's the Cars 2 reference. Did we know his name was Andy Davis before this movie? He must be good at art because he got the first place art in the art competition. So Andy's a well-rounded kid for sure. What is PU? It's like a baseball sign. Is that like a college, a professional team, semi-pro team? I have so many questions. Molly looks a whole lot older in this movie for sure. The amount of things that he has to clean up in his house and does in the week. It is kind of funny to think that like two of the movies are over a week's span because like the first one it was a week until they moved. This one is it's a week until he goes to college. Like it seems interesting that there's always a week in between. Yeah, I introduced the idea of Sunnyside Daycare there. Her reading Tween magazine. Oh, poor Barbie. She's a goner. Ham saying I get the Corvette is hilarious. You can see it even this early in the movie. Obviously, we get confirmation of it later, but like you can see this early in the movie how important these toys were to Andy. And he's just having a really hard time communicating that just because of who he is. There's a tiger. It almost looks like a Clemson tiger, although I don't think that's it. But yeah, what I was saying was like he is obviously cares about these toys and he wants them and he does something about them here, but like there's a lot of nostalgia with these toys and they gave him lots of awesome hours and he was obviously good with these toys because like they're still in pretty good condition. And so like they were important to him And he just doesn't know how to communicate that because he's an 18-year-old boy and he can't exactly be like, oh, I think this is the best part. But he actually decides for Woody to go to college with him. That's a really interesting choice for me because, like, is he actually going to take Woody and, like, put him in his dorm room or whatever? It's an interesting thing to think about. All the events of this movie are just really well timed and really well, like, the structure of this movie is a whole lot of fun. Jesse dealing with the trauma of what she dealt with last time, that's definitely a part of it. It's kind of interesting how each of the toys kind of takes on what's happening to them. Yikes, she mistook them for trash. Just knowing that he's calling for Buster is so good because you're like, oh yeah, Buster was awesome in the last one. But now he's like so old because it's literally been 10 years or whatever since Toy Story 2. Oh, Buster. Emery always laughs at this too. Laughs at the big old dog. Woody is always like, always down for an adventure. Takes the scissors. Could you imagine if you saw something like this happen? Like you saw a toy go down the gutter system and or you saw them walking around. Obviously, that's kind of the whole point. Speaking of point, I love how much they confront the trash side of being a toy so much in this movie. It's really kind of interesting how they confront. What do y'all think? Do you think that's actually Sid? Obviously, the shirt is to be reminiscent of Sid, but is that actually him or is that someone else? I personally think it's him. Like, I think he's a well-adjusted kid. I think after the Toy Story 1 mishap, he went to therapy. He got all the help he needed, and now he's an outstanding member of society. Yeah, he's just a trash man, but like he knows his part. He's doing what he needs to do to get by, and I think that's honorable. I really wonder how far of a move it was for them in the first movie, like. Because for that to be Sid, he either A, had to move to where Andy lives now, or he had to live close enough, and it wasn't really like a huge move. It was just kind of like a move to another house. However, if it would have been a close move, there would have been no reason for Andy's mom to have a party early because they could have just had it at their new house. So that doesn't really make sense to me either. It's not a bad decision for them. Obviously, Sunnyside has its issues, as we'll discover here in a little bit, but I think that it's not a bad plan, honestly, for them. Because he put us in a trash bag. Woody being the boss is interesting. He's still kind of the lead of the room, even though there's not as many people. And really not that much of a need for there to be a lead. I wonder what life was like for them in the last 10 years. Because obviously we see what it was like when Andy was still small. And now we see what it's like now. And obviously they got to this point of desperation where they kept wanting him to play with them, but he never did. And so what was the 10 years like? Was there like a steady decline where he stopped playing with them? Or was it like all at once and just one day he was done playing and like it was just over for him? Obviously, Woody is right here, but he doesn't have the best tact in this conversation. Case in point, Woody doesn't have much tact. He's a little rough around the edges in his arguments sometimes. It's so funny to like the juxtaposition of like, oh, it's sunny side. Like, oh, it's happy. There's rainbows. Everything's great. Obviously, that's the point, but it's so funny to think about it that way. Like, oh, we see kids playing. It's so perfect. There's a playground, she just said. But it's actually terrible. That's all Rex needs. There's a rainbow on the door. It's perfect. First time we see Bonnie, she's playing with a creepy monkey. I really think without the fourth movie, I would like Bonnie a little bit more, but I'm kind of sour on her a little bit because of the way she plays with toys is not the same as Andy. And I know that's ridiculous because she's just a little girl and she's perfect and she's fine. But because of the way she treats Woody, my least favorite movie happens. Don't mind me, I'm just a grown man upset at a toddler or a young girl for not playing the way I want her to. It's not weird, I promise. So you have that little brown haired girl there has a little kitty cat and she says boo, and then later I think someone says kitty or something like that, and so there's speculation that that might be the Boo from Monsters, Inc. I'm not sure if I actually believe that wholeheartedly, but I mean, might as well. There have been crazier things. I think that's somewhat reasonable. I love how excited all the new toys are, and they're like, oh, this is so great. There's new toys, and they're welcoming us, and it's so nice. Some of the voices they got for some of the new toys is impressive, like Whoopi Goldberg and Kins and Lotso's. I think they did good on that for this movie, for being the third movie. First time we see Lotso. This guy's Kane. I don't trust toys with canes. Stinky Pete was bad and he had a cane. Oh, there's a Lightning McQueen toy back there behind Woody. That's interesting. I've never noticed that before. That's probably a really good look to the next movie as well. Because Cars 2 comes after this movie. Not for us, but in the scheme of the movies, it does. When Josh and I did our thing, I said that Lotso was my favorite character from this movie, and I stand by that. He is such a good villain because like he's got the nice side of him. Obviously he's a teddy bear and he's a stuffy, and that's what we call stuffed animals. But like he's a stuffy and like he's nice and he's playful and he's purple and he smells like strawberries. But it's all a facade, and it's like that's such a good facade because he's so easily believed to be a good guy. All the other toys are sold. I think Ken Loki might be the best character from this movie, though. I said Lotso, but Ken is just as good. Like, he is so point on, like, just like the ultimate example of what Ken should be. So funny that this is like the only song in all of Toy Story that's like an actual song that they use, and they use it to show that Barbie and Ken love each other. the stiff way that the Barbie and Ken walk is so good, because they don't want, they like don't have knee whatever. All most of the other toys do, and so they bend and walk normal, but because Ken and Barbie don't have knee ligaments or whatever, they kind of walk weird, but it's a nice touch. All the toys kind of move the way that you would think they would. Toy Spa. It's nice. It's kind of funny. Ken's Dream House. How tragic. He has no one to share it with. There's the creepy big baby. It is kind of a cushy gig for a toy, because as long as they stay well, which this has, they have the spa that keeps them well, they're not going to get thrown out. They're going to get played with. Obviously, the caterpillar room's not as solid. It is a nice room, and it looks clean somewhat right now. I wonder how they kept it so clean before this playtime. He should have answered the call right there. So that guy could have told him, no, get out, get out. Called him Pinky. You don't know me from G.I. Joe? They like give her permission to go. So do like all the other toys know that this is wrong, or they just like they're not a part of it, and so they don't necessarily think it's as bad? And what's the story of all the other toys that are in the caterpillar room? Like, are they kind of like this, still newbies? They've not made their way up, no good recruits. This is my favorite thing that Woody does. Like, he is so loyal and so on Andy's side that he would abandon everyone else to be there for Andy. This is so hard for me to get over in the fourth movie, and I'm hoping that the fifth movie addresses, because I think I'd be okay with him realizing that Andy is the reason that he's loyal and want, like, he's loyal to Andy, not to kids, but to Andy. And I think that would maybe make it okay for me, because he does love Andy. He is loyal to Andy, but not so much Bonnie in the next movie. So, like, is it just because it's Andy, or does he lose a part of himself in four and it's out of character? It's something that I'm constantly struggling with Toy Story 4. And I'll probably talk it out in the next movie a little bit more. He's a little mean in this movie, in this part, but I think he quickly gets over it and realizes is the mistake that he's made. It's crazy how good the toys look from this movie, from the Toy Story 2. And this is why Bullseye is my favorite, right here. He's gone. He knows it's right. Bullseye's on board. I think if Bullseye would have made it back, I think that he would have taken him to college too, but he's a good boy though. I love Bullseye. You never really know throughout this movie how big of a piece Bonnie's going to be. It's kind of crazy that they just kind of hint at her through the movie. It's kind of cool. As someone who's worked at a daycare, I find Sunnyside to be endlessly interesting. Because there's a whole bunch of rooms and there's a lot of workers and time schedules seem to be a thing. Like, they have their own janitor. And this is like a bigger bathroom and they have the smaller bathroom. So, like, what are the ages of Sunnyside Daycare? Is it like a daycare and an after school? Because that's kind of like what I worked at for a while. And so that would make sense. If it was something where they had the smaller kids, but they also went and like picked kids up from school and had them there. That makes most sense to me. I think that's what Sunnyside is. And they have an older room. I like this guy. He's a good janitor. So funny. You do get glimpses of how good of a player, similar to Andy, that Bonnie is. And so, like, there are hints throughout that she might be the incumbent kid. Knowing what we know from the end of the movie, how hard of a place this is to get out of, Woody does, like, a spectacular job and, like, even does it while trying to keep his hat. But also, if you just were on this playground and you saw a toy hanging from a kite, like, you would think that someone, anyone, like a kid, an adult, would have seen that and done something about it. Like, what is that? That was weird. Like, they would have at least noticed it, especially now. Also, what kind of wind tunnel would lift him that high and jerk him around like that? I don't think that's super duper realistic. I do like the attempt of him flying like a bird. The Mission Impossible pose there. Also, I never knew how much kids like Band-Aids. I saw Bonnie had one on her knee there. They're like constantly asking and wanting Band-Aids. So, MCU 726. I wonder if that's anything. That was the license plate on Bonnie's mom's car. This scene is stress-inducing. I posted this a while back, and I really do firmly believe this, that if I was a parent and I knew that this daycare was letting my kid play this hard and with no, like, vision that was, like, they can play with paint whenever they want to. They can throw toys around. They're letting them put it in their noses. They're running around the room with seemingly no supervision. Like, this is, and maybe it's exaggerated because it's awful for the toys, but like that, like, why would they let a toy, one, go in their mouth, but two, go on that? Oh yes, let's get a toy and pour all of the glitter on it with no supervision. Yeah, sure, kid. Put it in there. Oh yeah, bang that toy as hard as you can. Any good daycare would not let the kids act like this. And so I have my doubts about how good of a daycare Sunnyside is for the younger kids. Like, obviously, the butterfly room seems to got it going on, but the caterpillar room, it just gets so messy and the kids are playing so crazily that I just don't know. I do really, really like all of Bonnie's toys, though. I think all of them are good additions. Trixie, Buttercup, Prickle Pants, Dolly. Like, literally all of them are so good. Rex wanting a dinosaur toy, and then Trixie is like the perfect dinosaur toy partner for him. I'm a beep boop kind of person too, Bunny. I almost think Bonnie might be, I don't know. I was about to say a better player, but I don't know. She's just different. She is good, though. She uses her surroundings pretty good, too, like blankets and toy chests like this. And, like, she, like, can go out of the room, bring stuff in, and like, she's a good play person as well. She's a good kid. The peas in the pod. See, this part of the movie is so interesting too, because, like, obviously you can just look at him, even though he's stone faced, you can tell that he's enjoying it, and like, it's like the best play that he's had in a long time, I think he says here in a few minutes, but like, Bonnie is not his kid. Also, if Slinky was ever like that right there, he would never be able to be played with ever again. Slinkies are the worst toy as far as like not being able to fix them and go back to what they were. They're terrible. Yeah, Andy's a better kid. They're locked in. Like, why does Ham know anything about that lock? Like, he's been in a toy chest for 10 years. Like, how does he know anything about that? Some of their harebrained, like, do this, then this kind of plans. Like, there's no reason this should have worked. But, like, I guess it's that falling with style. All the paintings will be on the floor. Push the broom up at the exact second so he can jump and boom. Falling with style. Also, what this scene leads to is so funny. Barbie and Ken are crazy. The amount of outfits that Ken has is something else. I really think this movie might be the perfect movie. There's just so much good about it. Like, it starts strong. It's strong through the middle. It ends unbelievably strong. Like, it's just such a good movie. I love that they can climb up the snack drawer here. The vending machine. Wonder how many kids they have at Sunnyside. For them to have like a dedicated teacher's lounge, that's kind of an interesting, I don't know. I think about weird things sometimes. I want to know what all of those snacks are too. They're obviously like off-brand for the movie, but like, I wonder if there's any references in the snacks there. I think due to the events of Toy Story 1 and 2, like, Buzz and Woody are, like, so adventurous that they are willing to go and do anything. Like, Woody is willing to escape the sunny side. Buzz is able to go up here and kind of keep people. The farmer says, being, like, their what they gamble on, like, oh, I think it's a duck. I think it's a frog. I think it's whatever. I think that's hilarious. So funny. Them talking about all the new toys. I'm not a girl's toy, he says. It's kind of rough to hear him talk about our favorite toys that way. Big Baby caught him, though. How did the Big Baby fit through all that? Like, obviously you thought something was going on when they were in the caterpillar room and things were going crazy, but the full-on conspiracy, like, crazy, like, hierarchy of Sunnyside was something I truly didn't see coming. See what I'm saying? Like, they're willing to go and do anything. Also, why does, like, do all kids in this universe put their name on the bottom of their toys? Because, like, Bonnie does it too. She's so funny about her computer. But lost a star. Lotso still putting on the facade that he's a nice guy. Like, obviously, Lotso's a terrible guy. And so these guys are like, wait, what are you doing? Like, obviously, we are doing exactly what you would have wanted us to. Why are you talking this way now? Called him Kenneth. A keeper. Kind of a ragtag group of toys that have made it to the keeper status. He's figured out his spiel, the way to kind of convince the toys that he's still nice and good. So even Buzz thinks that they're a family. And now we get to see the real Lotso. They have so many toys coming in and out. They have so many different owner's manuals and instruction manuals that they, like, could fix or change any toy that might come their way. I do think demo mode is an interesting. I do like the batteries here being by and large batteries. It's a nice touch too from Wally. I love her putting her eye places and being able to see. being able to see back into Andy's room is a really cool way. It's a cool way that they do that. Andy's made a lot of progress in his room. Get out of the way, Buster. So he's checking to make sure they got up there. He realizes what's happened. Like, if those were that important to me and my mom threw them away by accident, I think I would be distraught. Like, I would almost, like, not go to college. Like, that would kill me. Lonzo's, he's just so ominous. Her pocketbook looks chewed on. And there he is, Buzz Lightyear. I'll point it out, Josh is the one that mentioned it in the first place, but it's so funny that there is only one Toy Story movie where we don't actually see a Buzz Lightyear who thinks he's a Space Ranger, because they put him back in the demo mode. We now have to deal with Buzz who thinks he's a Space Ranger again. Like, these toys are so done. I think I mentioned it last time that they were so done when they had the other Buzz, but like, imagine not seeing it for 10 years and then all of a sudden, like, crazy Space Ranger Buzz is back. Like, what are you doing? So I wonder how you, like, quote unquote, reset a toy that doesn't have a reset button. Like, could you ever reset a Mr. Potato Head or something like that? You just gotta spend the night in the box. Uh-oh. Barbie's figured out what's happening. Yikes. It's her scarf. Oh, it's so funny. Like, I'm sure these toys are just, like, so lost. Like, they're like, ugh, how am I going to survive this? Like, how am I going to get out? The only chance we have at a good leader is Buzz, and now he's crazy Buzz who's been reset. At the academy. Now you see the true Lotso. He ain't it, y'all. Them using Woody's hat, even though, like, they don't have him, but to make them, like, freak out, like, hey, don't leave. That's, like, super duper manipulative. Like, that is, like, a whole nother level of manipulative for those. Like, oh, yeah, your friend that you thought got out, well, we have his hat. And so they're, like, they're implying that he's not Velocistar 237. Just a dinosaur toy. Trixie's so funny. Like, what room are they in? Are they still in Bonnie's room? Does Bonnie have a computer? I don't think so. I think it's probably in a different room, like in a family room or something like that. Yeah, because there's, like, the front door or the dog trap or whatever. Woody having to realize how bad he is. He hasn't experienced it yet, but to hear them tell about it, it's got to be like, oh, it's so confusing. Like, what's happening? This is so crazy. Chuckles the clown. So funny. The summer this movie came out, I worked at a camp, and it was like a movie theme. And so we had a Toy Story thing that we did. And it wasn't like one-to-one, but it was written before this summer, and we had a Chuckles the Clown, and then this Chuckles the Clown came on the screen the first time we watched this movie, and we just like all died laughing. And people were like, this is like a super serious part of the movie, and people were probably wondering, like, why are these people laughing at this? It's so interesting to see like the same story essentially in some ways, kind of told in different ways, but like Daisy loved these toys and they were so important and they were just forgotten. It wasn't like they were abandoned like Jesse or anything, and it wasn't like any of the other stories. They literally just were forgotten, and it's so sad to like see the trauma and like what he had to go through or what he went through because he was just a forgotten toy. Like, he was a good guy. He was that. But because she replaced him, because her, she probably freaked out and was super sad. And like, I would totally do the same. If like Emery had a toy that she was super attached to and lost it, I would do the same thing. But for the original toy, you never really think about the toy that was lost. Like, it's kind of sad to think about. Yep, replaced them all. Broke him. He'll never be the same again. Like, I find it really confusing as to like how he got so wet. Like, that toy would never really be the same again. Also, why does he have a limp? It's kind of an interesting thing. Like, why does a stuffed animal have a limp? Gotta feel bad for Chuckles too, because like he was abandoned too and he was lost, but he didn't go and like create a crazy system where that takes advantages of different toys. He's just kind of living in his life, and he's sad, but like he didn't really take it out. Like, where did Ham learn to play the harmonica? That's what I want to know. He's in the music one. There's a tambourine or something in there too, which is pretty funny. That's where you're wrong, Jesse. He came back for you in this one, but yeah. It's morning time. It's crazy that this whole movie is taking place over like one day. So far, we're like almost an hour into the movie, and it's only been like one day. Poor Potato Head. I don't think those were Lincoln Logs. It would be terrible to be out in the sandbox, I'm sure. See, there's a good crew of kids, like, and obviously Bonnie's in the butterfly room, I would say, just because like if in the next movie she's going to school and they hadn't been there that long, I assume, because she doesn't look that much older. my guess is she's in the butterfly room now, because she's on the older side, which makes sense to me. So not only did Woody escape, but he found his way back too. And so he's loyal to his crew. No, in this one. They're still being played with really rough. So there is a teacher in there. I've seen one adult. In both of these scenes put together, I've only seen one adult. And she was literally on the floor talking to one singular kid with her back to half of the other students in the craziness. It is good to know that there's a toy that hadn't been broken yet. And that, like, there is a way around it. And because of this little phone guy. He's been there years. It's kind of crazy that he's been there years and they've never done anything to him. Is that the same guy? I think he looked a little different. He didn't have like the stash. So they have at least like two janitors / trash men or whatever. This must be a big school. Or daycare, or whatever you want to call it. These escape scenes are so, so good. Like hearing the little phone guy talk about what's happening, but also like acknowledging that like this is how it happens. These are some of the earlier failed attempts. There's that ugly little monkey that Bonnie was playing with at the beginning. So this is what I'm talking about. Like you see all of the failed attempts. It's a really cool because no, we're not to our toys plan yet, but this is what's going to actually have to happen. If you're going to get out, is you're going to have to basically do what all of these other toys were not able to do. Some got pretty close. Some got all the way outside. Some got almost to the door. Some were about to climb the wall, but they'll eventually all get caught. Like none of them have been able to escape yet. They've all been stuck. Gotta get the monkey. I do like how they don't talk about the rest of the plan. Like, okay, we know that they need to get the monkey. We know that that's the first part of the plan. So they don't necessarily spoil everything, but like we know they have to get the monkey. And so, and like whatever their plan is, it all hinges on getting that monkey. They're all like, yeah, no, that's real. Buzz thinks he's a loon again. Mr. Potato Head saying, Jesse's right. She was wrong. Like, not I'm wrong too, but like. I don't necessarily know if the timeline exactly works. Because it was like a week, or maybe she said 3 days. I don't remember. I probably should have been paying better attention. So now they're coming up with a plan. Let's see if their plan actually works. I love this plan and how it goes about. And like, they're always down for an escape. They're always down for an adventure. And this is like, this, in my opinion, is peak Toy Story adventure, is this escape scene. Where do they get an actual potato? The way Potato Head runs right here is actually really funny. It's all part of the plan. He's focused on that. He doesn't see Slinky getting out. It's all part of the plan. Purse with legs. That's a really hurtful accusation there. A nickname. So they got Slinky up. They got Mr. Potato Head out. The plan's going all according to it so far. Seemingly. Is Barbie a part of the plan? We don't know. All right, he's getting Barbie out. Oh, Mr. Potato Head. All the parts start flying out, leading to what, in my opinion, is one of the funniest Potato Head bits. All right, there's Woody and Slinky going after that darn monkey. I wonder what their plan actually was. Like, were they just going to get him without that? And Woody just starts freaking out and, like, drops the thing that was supposed to contain them. It's kind of a terrifying little monkey there. Slinky improvises. This is a really funny Ken and Barbie scene, like taking her to the closet. That's definitely what you should be doing right now, Ken. I do love that these are all like actual Ken outfits that have come with actual Ken dolls before. Freak out. I guess there's another actual song. They're all surrounded by Ken and Barbie. The real life songs come out when they're doing that. Their thing. Ken modeling all the different outfits are so funny. Cause you like see him actually trying to model and being like super genuine, like walking down the runway. So they got the monkey, they taped him all up, put him in a drawer. That kid ain't that guy ain't coming out. Like even like moving the cameras is all a part of their plan. Like they had like a slock solid plan. Faking a fight. No wonder you're extinct. I've never noticed that before. That's a pretty good line by him. Obviously, they're fake fighting, but no wonder you're extinct is actually hilarious. There's the tortilla. It really does beg the question as to, like, okay, he puts himself in a tortilla, but, like, how does he move around with a tortilla? How do all of these pieces move around independently of the potato head body? Oh, my gosh, it's so funny. Like, he looks so goofy, but, like, still kind of looks like Mr. Potato Head. Like, knowing that this was all part of their plan. Ken and Barbie just make me her pulling his neck around and just completely twisting it all the way around for it to just to go scream and not hurt him at all is too good. I love the key under the door rubber band contraption. That's a good piece of it as well. Just the floppiness of the tortilla is, I think, the funniest thing. Like, I really wish I could remember the first time I saw this. I'm sure I died laughing. Like, they've got their plan all lined up for sure. They come really close to getting caught so many times. How is she able to tear those like so easily? Like, she's obviously just a Barbie and she's like pulling these clothes. Like, I don't even know that like I could like rip these clothes with just my bare hands and pull them out the way she's doing. Using like a paddle, it's not a ping pong paddle. What is it called? Like a paddle, what is it called? Maybe it's just a paddle. But to kind of, and there's the ball bouncing on the floor. I do like the little bookworm. You don't really get much from him, but he's kind of funny. They're also just kind of like, okay, whatever. Ken is Ken. He's going to do whatever he's going to do. I forgot they tried to fix Buzz. Also, the baseball signs that Mr. Potato Head does right there. Uh-oh. A bird! Calling a bird feathers is actually really funny. I don't think that was part of their plan. But the tortilla split in three parts. Oh, there's a garden. Go check out what's in the garden, Mr. Potato Head. It's kind of funny that Buzz thought about that. Ugh, their plan almost gets ruined right here. Would the actual Buzz, though, like, have prisoners? Like, I don't know if that actually really lines up with who the Buzz Lightyear guy is. Like, you wouldn't take prisoners and keep them captive like this. Obviously, he's being manipulated by Lotso in this story, but the actual superhero Lightyear would not take people prisoner. So that's just kind of a weird inconsistency there. Spanish Buzz is my favorite bit from this movie. I just think it's so funny that they like switch him to Spanish mode and they've got the subtitles at the bottom. And it's like a completely different voice. Of course, the part to switch him back is in Spanish. Like, they made it this far, little telephone guy. The rest of them made it out. They're that much closer. Of course, Spanish Buzz falls in love with Jesse the same way that real Buzz kind of has. He's a little bit more outgoing there, Spanish Buzz is. Mr. Cucumber just adds to the hilarity of this. All right, we have everyone together. Using Mr. Potato Head to like signal things far away by wagging his tail. All the parts of this are so good. Uh-oh. So most of them have made it. There's just a concern about Woody, Bullseye, and the three little aliens. It is kind of funny that Andy kept these three little aliens. Like, they are like a throwaway toy from Pizza Planet. Like, why would he have... Then they didn't even... They're not even his. Like, they came with Jesse and Bullseye from the second movie. Like, they were the ones that Mr. Potato Head saved in the car. So it's not like he even has, like, an attachment to when he got them or how he got them. But for some reason, they have outlasted all the yard sales. Maybe they just didn't sell, so he never really was able to get rid of them. It's a good thing they stayed, though, because of the end of this movie. This is my favorite part. Him trying to woo Jesse by dancing around him with all of the Spanish flair. I love it. It's working on me. It's a good line. Come with me. I'll show you all of the galaxy and we'll vanquish all evil with our love. If that's not a pickup line, I don't know what is. El paqueo. It's my favorite line of Spanish Buzz. The cowboy. I'll do it myself. That one's pretty good too. The whole Buzz Lightyear to the rescue, but in Spanish. They're like this close to like being out, but they caught the little telephone guy. Oh, you wanted us to all come down at once? Okay. Like, what scenario would it be that they needed to all come down at once? I think it's funny that this movie has literally probably been me laughing the whole time. Like, there's so much to love about this movie, and it's just like I've literally been smiling the whole time because it's like that funny and good. Like, it's just this movie is so good. Lotso caught him though. They finally broke him. Because he's got to go to college, Lotso. I wonder if they had the idea for the trash scene all the way back in Toy Story 2 when Stinky Pete kind of mentions it, or they're like, oh, wait, Stinky Pete said that in 2, and it was just kind of a throwaway line, but like, that would actually be a really good thing to do now. And so they were able to kind of throw it in. I definitely think that using that line from Stinky Pete from 2 adds to how good this is. Even though Barbie manipulated him, he's still on her side. He's willing to get rid of Ken, his kind of number two guy, almost like that. And that trash truck is so ominous. She lost you. Please. He lied. It's true. She did. She loved Lotso. But she loved Lotso so much that, like, not having him was not an option for their family. And now it took him to this level, but, like, she loved Lotso as much or more than, like, Andy loves Woody, or Emily loved Jesse, or Bonnie loves Sirtoys. Like, it's just that their family made a mistake, and that one mistake drove this toy to who he is. And it's kind of a sad way that he leans up, or how he ends up, but it's how it goes. Those little aliens cause all of the trouble. Uh-oh. Lotso still got him. I literally think at this point, because there was no, like, Toy Story 4 imminent, like, we didn't really know what was happening. At this point, when all of the toys are in the dump trying to get him, and then all of a sudden, the fear that they had at the beginning of the movie has now become reality. The fear that they had that they're going to be thrown away, has now happened. They are actually thrown away. They're in the trash truck. They're headed to the dump. It is just tragedy. There's Buzz having his glow in the dark. It's only come up a few times, but it's been super helpful every time that it has. Now more and more things are coming in. They are... Buzz and Woody, they're always down to save a person who's in need. In this instance, it's Jesse. The music background for this is so good. Even Buzz's eyebrows are, like, different. They're just in a bad state right now. Poor Buzz. It took a TV landing on his head to bring him back to his senses. Why is he sniffing like that? How could toys smell? There's so many questions I have. Wait, Woody has his little spot right there. Unless that's just a dirt spot from something. I'm talking about the spot from episode one, from Toy Story 1, where Sid, like, burns it on his forehead. He had it just then. But you didn't see it in Toy Story 2 really all that much at all. Or maybe it was just a spot from something else, or trash, or something like that. But to put me in the zone where I was watching this movie for the first time, them being at the trash dump was absolutely terrifying. Like, what in the world is going to happen to these toys? Like, I can't imagine the terror. Like, this is, like, terrible. There's a real legit chance that they might not make it through this. Like, this conveyor belt is ominous. They don't know where they're going. And then the metal is interesting too. Like, the magnet pulling out all of the metal parts. They've got to figure out how to get him down. Slash that. Get themselves up so they're not grinded into a million bajillion pieces. Ham being able to Rex finding all of the metals that are not plastic at first, or that are not metallic, that are not magnetic. Goodness. See, Woody's such a good toy, and like he would be willing to risk his life for the toy that has him in this situation in the first place. Like there would be no problem right now if they literally just left him there. Are they gonna get him? Yes, they are. I want to know how Slinky got down. Did someone help him? And if like the magnet was strong enough to pull him up earlier, why is it not strong enough to pull him up now? I think that was just a dirt spot on his face, potentially. The nervousness that I had the first time I watched this movie from this moment is unbearable. Like, obviously, the stakes are huge. Like, obviously, a furnace would not be great for toys. But, like, and you're thinking, okay, Lotso can save him here. Lotso can do this. Okay, go up. Help him out, Lotso. Like, you can finally be redeemed. Like, this is great. You have your shot. You'll stop it just in time. The toys can get out. Then get back to Andy. But that's not what happens. He just leaves. And all of the toys fall in this furnace. Like, I didn't think they would do this. But it got to a certain point when I had to question myself. And I had to be like, are they really actually going to do this? Are they going to kill off all of my favorite toys in this fiery furnace and just imply that they're together and everything is okay? And like, is that what they're actually going to do in this moment? And I'm thinking, no, that's probably not what they're going to do. But then they start reaching hands and they're like, they like stop fighting and they look like they're all okay. Like, okay, if this is really how we're going to go out, at least we're together. Like, I'm like tearing up right now at this. I'm smiling and I'm tearing up because like the audacity for them to even imply that they were going to do this and that they were going to let these toys go in this way. And this is how they were going to end the Toy Story franchise. I thought they could have done it, but I didn't know. But like, my goodness. Just like the sense of defeat on their faces, like, okay, this is what's gonna happen. But then for a stinking claw to be the thing that saves them, and you're like, wait, what is happening? Who is doing this? What is going on? You almost have forgot about these three little aliens. But boom, they save the claw. They bring that back from the first movie. They save the toys. Everything. It's literally perfect. Toy Story 3 is the perfect movie. They do everything that they could have done to make the story of these characters so good, so believable, so amazing, and I love every second of it. He's like, I take everything back. I want to go to Andy's office or attic. I love the role reversal. You saved our lives. We are eternally grateful. Call him daddy. Not worth their time. Honestly, Stinky Pete and now Lotso have like the perfect ending for them. he gave toys a terrible life, and so he just gets a terrible life. He has friends. He has someone who enjoys his company. But now he has a miserable life. And Stinky Pete wanted to be picked and wanted to be played with, and so that's ultimately what he got. It just wasn't the right person or the thing that he wanted to be. Forgot she can check and look with her other eye. He's almost done packing. If that is Sid, the fact that Sid is the one to reunite Andy with his toys and ultimately give them to Bonnie, that is a nice touch. I will say that much. Them cleaning off. I think it would take a lot more than just kind of a hose to the face to clean their dirtiness off at times. I saw her eye back there actually before she did that. I'd never noticed that before. You can hear some of the same music cues from the play session in that little section right there. It's kind of an interesting. I almost wish if they were going to separate the toys like they do in 4, that they would have just done this. That Woody could have been with Andy and they wouldn't have separated him from that by making him choose to leave a kid. Like, that's just not what Woody would do, in my opinion. And so, like, if they were going to have the toys separate like they do, why not just, like, let them do it this way? I don't know. So many sad moments in the last few minutes of this movie. As a parent, I can't imagine what she's going through right now. Still her little boy, though. Still the same kid. Oh, why have I never noticed that line right there? That's why he did it. She said, I wish I could always be with you. That's what Woody wanted for Andy. He wants to always be there. But him saying, you will be, even though like she's not going to be, I think that's why he picked to go to Bonnie's versus college. That is quite the interesting wrinkle that just came into this movie for me. I may be reading too much into it. I tend to do that, but. But he's glad they're just not thrown away. The music for these movies are so good. This scene is maybe one of my favorites in all of Toy Story. Just to hear what the toys actually mean and meant to Andy, I think make me think about the toys in a different way. I said this on our pod at one point, that the way that Andy thinks about the toys influence how they act in their personalities. And I think there are parts of that that are true. It With the addition of all these toys, though, that like Bonnie's like main section of toys are way too big to be the ones that she takes everywhere. Y'all, I might just cry. So at first he said that she was Bazooka Jane in the second movie. So he must have learned that her name was Jessie somehow. My guess is the use of Wikipedia. I bet he looked up everything from that. One of the best traits of little girls is that they can wear whatever they want, even if it doesn't match, even if it's like super mismatch, and they still look super duper cute, like Bonnie is right now with her like green shirt and pink tutu and yellow rain boots, and like it doesn't really match, but because she's a little girl, she's super cute. Evil Dr. Porkchop. Pizza Planet. Like, obviously, he cares a lot about Buzz Lightyear, too. Like, why is it so much easier for him to give up Buzz than it is to Woody? They mean a lot to him. If Toy Story 5 is not Andy getting his toys back, I'll riot. Not really, but I'll be really sad. Woody, or Andy, reflexing and not really wanting to give him up. Because he's the perfect toy. Perfect Andy's toy. These quotes about Woody are everything that I think make him special too. He will never give up on you, never. He will be there for you, no matter what. Those are all things that are true about Woody until the fourth movie. Sorry. I'm glad he gave her up, though, I guess. I love getting to see Andy play one more time too. And I'm glad he gets to play with some of Bonnie's toys. And I just think it really is the perfect way to end Toy Story. However, they made 4 and are now making 5. And I hope they land it better than they did with 4. But this would have been the perfect ending to Toy Story, in my opinion. I can't do it, y'all. The wave with Andy's hand or Woody's hand. Oh, gosh, man. Makes me not want to get rid of any of Emery's toys. Like, obviously, that can't happen. Our house will be full of toys by our 18th birthday, but, like, oh, gosh. Guys, these movies are so amazing. Oh, so long, partner. Now Woody gets to show all the other toys around. And the clouds being like the clouds from Andy's house in the first movie. I think that right there would have been the perfect way to end Toy Story. But I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, and hopefully 5 will end it as good, if not better, than that could have been. I do really enjoy this song. It's a good new song. I love getting to see all of the how everything kind of ends up at Sunnyside, how things end up in Bonnie's room, and how that Barbie and Ken are kind of leading things. It's much better. They're all taking turns. Ken and Barbie are cheerleading them on. There's the Luxo ball, playing volleyball with it. Love it. How long were these army guys in the air if they're just now landing? Well, I think this is the perfect way to do credits. Like, give us something to look at. We can peep over at the names and appreciate all the people that had a part in making the movie, but also get kind of a bow on what's the perfect wrapping that was this movie. We belong together. I think Randy Newman just does such a good job of all of this. The monkey adding to the music is a really funny touch. Sending letters through Bonnie. It's a good touch. It being Ken that wrote it. It's all right. They found their match. Those two are like perfect for each other. I'm glad he finally got his other dinosaur to play with. She's a fairly good artist there. Good job, Chuckles. Now they've got even more kids in the peas in the pod. Them performing plays, like, why? Say this. Hamlet. Buzz being able to fix the spaceship. Forgot about that part. Also, the music just uncontrollably making him dance. I think the Spanish You've Got a Friend in Me is a bop, too. Such a good looking, too. Just like the slow moments for toys. Like, I bet Bonnie and her family just like aren't even home right now, so they're just kind of vibing, they're just kind of enjoying their life and everything's chill. Where did they learn to dance like that, though? I'm dancing. I know y'all can't see me, but I'm dancing. It's a vibe. I think it's a fun way to end. Obviously, you have the seriousness of how the movie actually ends, but then the fun, like, oh yeah, this is how everything ended. Everything's cool. Everything's great. We really enjoy life now. And that is really cool. And so that's Toy Story 3, y'all. This is my favorite movie of the lot. And I think there's a lot that go into that. And so I really enjoy just so much about the story of it. I think all of the characters have their best moments in most parts because of this movie. I think that this is definitely Woody's best movie. I think Toy Story 2 might be Buzz's best movie, but I think Buzz is just as good in this movie as well. I think all the side characters get so much playing room, and I think it's so much fun. And so I love me some Toy Story 3. I am looking forward to kind of doing the Toy Story 4 commentary just to kind of talk out and like be able to, I might even use y'all as like a therapy of some sorts because of how frustrating Toy Story 4 can be for me, but maybe I'll talk it out and maybe I'll understand and see things a little bit differently, in real time. And so hopefully that's, what happens. We'll see. It's been an awesome time here. I'm going to wrap up. This pod is already long enough, over an hour and 40 minutes. And so I think we will just end it there. I appreciate all that. We would love for you guys to go and give us some 5-star ratings. Maybe even give us kind of a comment there or anything like there. If you leave a review, I'll read it on one of the pods coming up. And so we would love to hear from you guys. Keep listening, keep enjoying. I would love any input that y'all have to how to make these better. All right. Peace out. Have a good one.